Father, listen now, they must be heard. Child of Jacob, awaken, open up your eyes. Do not be deceived or surrender to the lies. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees' hypocrisy. There is a watchman on the wall, shouting out a warning, heed the call. Been denied, distorted and concealed. One day will be clear and finally revealed. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy. Enchanter, enticer, these are the tools he'll employ. Confusion, aversion, my people are destroyed. Child of Jacob, awaken, open up your eyes. Do not be deceived or surrender to the lies. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I am your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 22nd day of April, year 2018, which is the third day of Ziv on the Hebrew calendar, which means we have 33 days until Pentecost. We also would remind you that means we have 32 days until our day of affliction, the fast on the day before Pentecost, that we are asking our brothers and sisters all over the earth to join us as we beseech our Heavenly Father for His guidance and His protection at this time. Today's program has been entitled The Awakening. We do not have any guests scheduled, so the call number will be activated in a little bit. So if you feel like joining in, or if you have any news to report, because certainly an awful lot is going on. In fact, I just received a text from one of our brothers up in the panhandle of Florida, and apparently there's an awful lot of military activity going on in different parts of the United States. Of course, that could be good or bad. We don't really know yet. Before we get started, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. By the way, that's what Yah in ancient Hebrew means, I am. We also dedicate this program to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. For the folks who are new to the program and new to Eurofolkradio.com, we do talk a lot about Hebrew, Greek, and other languages because this is a world outreach. And for that reason, I often start with a shout out to my cousins in the land of the Celts, which are the Irish and Welsh over there. So to my Welshman, Shumai, which is welcome to the program, and depending on the time zone, of course, Bora Da, which is good morning, or Prinhan Da, which is good afternoon. Also a Cumru Ambith to my Welsh kinsman, which is Wales forever. Very similar to Erin Go Bragh in Irish, which is Ireland forever. So we are from the Misty Isles. A lot of us have cultural ties to our brothers and sisters over there, and we like to say hello. And that's the beautiful part. Yahweh has allowed us to reach our brothers and sisters easily at this time across continents. That wasn't possible. In fact, back when I first learned the identity message, it was not possible at all until email became available. And even then, a lot of people didn't have computers. And if you did, you had very slow connection to the internet. And so high-speed communications was not even possible. Many of the communications took the form of handwritten letters or pamphlets mailed by snail mail. Then faxes came along, and faxing sort of helped us get some information out there. So Yahweh has provided tools for us. And I'm really happy to report that Eurofolk Radio was very, very quickly becoming exactly what I had a premonition that it might, and that is the go-to place. Eurofolk Radio is the go-to place for information, truth, fellowship, edification of the brothers and sisters all over the earth. We did find out that our brother Michael over in Sweden has left, but not because of animosity, but because of scheduling difficulties and things such as that, and he's striking out on his own. But hey, doesn't the bird leave the nest? You know, little baby birds, they leave the nest, or the kittens leave the mother, and southern, even our own children eventually leave the nest, don't they? That's why it's called the empty nest syndrome. So, you know, we raise up our watchmen, and sometimes they go on their own paths, but that's okay. We're still part of a family. We still care about each other and correspond and lift them up in prayer, etc. So Brother Michael, the Lion of the North, and his YouTube channel goes by that name, Lion of the North, as he strikes out to awaken his sleeping kinsmen in the land of Sweden. And a very big shout-out to the brother over in Finland that contacted me recently. Apparently, we're reaching our brothers and sisters all over. It's kind of interesting. You know, we talk about Father's will and his plan, which is what the word logos in the Greek means, plan. It's always interpreted or often interpreted as word. As, you know, when people say, you know, the word was with Yahweh and from the beginning and everything else, you know, logos is always interpreted word. And then it became synonymous with the Bible. Okay. The Bible didn't exist until a few hundred years ago, as we know it today, which is a compilation of all the different chapters and scriptures, etc. So, hold on a minute. I'm getting a message here. So I think it's important, the call-in number. Yeah, I'm going to give it out here in just a second, all right? So stay tuned here, folks. But it's important for us to remember it's Yahweh's plan, okay? That was what was from the beginning. Paper and books and Bibles and all are a relatively recent addition to the white man's culture. So it was the plan, okay? We're doing this by a plan. And Yahweh brought the world into existence by speaking it, if I read my Bible correctly. The history of the foundation of this earth, this Eretz, is he spoke it into existence. I believe we're supposed to take a lesson from that. I believe we are supposed to realize that the spoken word has power. It resonates. Much like the scripture says that the spirit testifies to the truth. When you hear the truth, it resonates, especially if you're a child of Yahweh. Now, maybe the lost out there, the snowflakes, the soy boys, the cucks, and the Satanists and the elitists and all that crowd, okay, well, that probably doesn't resonate with them because they don't even have a conscience. But Yahweh's children have a little different chemistry going on within their bodies. And if they're eating according to the food laws and cleansing the body according to the fasting and food laws, their pineal gland is going to function much, much better. And we're going to be able to pick up those signals. So we're not only going to get spiritual information, but we have a way of discerning spoken words. And I'm going to take a little credit for the Holy Spirit in my life, because the very first time I heard Bill Clinton's voice in an advertisement when he was running for office, the hair went up on the back of my neck. I said, this guy is no good. A lot of my friends thought I was crazy, but I said, I can tell this man is evil. He is no good. And I had nothing to base it on other than that. Same thing when I first heard Barack Obama, if that's not his real name, the imposter called Barack Obama. First time I heard his voice, and then I saw his face, and I said, this is walking evil right here. Satan personified. All right, for the folks out there, and since Doc apparently is wanting to call in, I'm assuming he's got some info for us. So the area code, please have your pens and pencils handy. The area code is 605-472-5300. Now you call that number, and it will ask you for an access code. The access code is 649249. So again, the phone number is 605-472-5300. Access code 649249. Okay. So if anybody has a problem, please let me know. I will monitor my phone for my close associates that have that number. And for the folks on Skype, at the EFR studio audience, I will monitor that. But anyway, let's
welcome.
Take
welcome. This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com. There are two participants in the conference.
Okay, I'm going to start and introduce you. Phil, welcome to the program. Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, it's our honor. Let me bring Doc into the conversation, Phil.
Pardon?
I said, let me bring Doc in, and then we'll continue.
Okay.
Okay, Doc Waterman, welcome to the program, and can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear.
All right.
Through okay.
Good. 5x5. All right. I had Phil up first, Doc, and then I'll find out what you've got to say here. But go ahead, Phil, with what you started.
Yeah, I called in because I wanted to explain a few things and let people understand some misunderstandings that I've been hearing on this network. For quite a while, it's like for all this week, and I'd like to clear up some misunderstandings historically and what is actually going on in the world. We need to understand that we need to stop attacking our civilization by bashing the Catholic Church for every single thing that happens. And we must understand that the Catholic Church is not a monolithic entity. And I have heard repeatedly on the show that the reason why the Middle Ages were referred to as the Middle Ages is because, or was referred to as the Dark Ages, is because the people did not have access to scriptures. When in fact that is exactly the opposite. You had mentioned earlier about the power of the spoken word. And they spoke about the scriptures constantly. And if you ever go into a cathedral, you'll see images of various events in biblical times. And the church was never a monolithic entity, and during the Middle Ages there were multiple popes, and in fact in Avignon there was a series of popes that were in opposition to Rome, and that's in southern France, by the way. And in the Second World War, this is one of the reasons why the Vichy France was established, because this is an attempt to split the Catholic Church, or the Romanism, or the internationalism, from what you might call the white European church element. The reason why it was called the Dark Ages was because it was in opposition to the Germanic peoples destroying the Roman Empire and giving it what was known as the Pax Romana, or a unified Roman peace, not because they were not giving out Bibles. And the reason why they didn't give out Bibles is the same reason why we are suffering from what we're suffering today, because you cannot read scriptures like you can your Saturday Evening Post, and you end up getting a lot of misunderstandings, you know. And, you know, I've run into people who say, you believe the Bible? And they say, yes, I do. It says, oh, you believe the snake talked? Then you have to explain to them that it's not a literal snake. And this is the kinds of problems that you face when you hand out the Bible like that, like it's nothing. And people get so confused because they don't have the time to sit down and study it like we do today. Or like some people, because most of us don't, we're too busy. But other people like Pastor Steve, he got to sit in a prison cell and study Hebrew, just like a monk would do. And everything that we have in the ancient world comes from these people. There's a great book that was an international bestseller called How the Irish Saved Civilization. And all the information that we have about the ancient world, about the world around us, we can derive from what they had chronicled and what they had saved. And what the Pope is doing is a calculated move to undermine and make a mockery and destroy the French Revolution. And he is taking the mantra of the French Revolution, liberté, equalité, and fraternité, and making a mockery. And he's doing this in a calculated move to destroy the Catholic Church. And it's insane, you know, the insane element of it. And this is a brilliant move, and people are fleeing from it. And we should not cry, you know, crying our porridge when our enemy is destroying himself. And because, you know, we have liberty, meaning sexual liberation, liberty of the individual, liberty to do anything you want, equality, the equality of the races, equality of religions, equality of everything, and then fraternity, that would be the a communist unified element. Also, I've heard people say that Constantine made the Roman Empire Christian, and he did not. He made Christianity legal and ended the persecutions of the Christians. And this in effect was the same is what is happening today with Judaism. And you cannot persecute a Jew. And so inevitably what happened was that Christianity won out, primarily because Christianity teaches of the resurrection of the body, and paganism did not. And so this is why it became very appealing. And while Constantine did not legalize or did not make it the official religion, his mother was an extremely devout Christian, and she was given access to the imperial treasury to go over to the Holy Land and find all of the sacred sites and put flesh and bone and rock and stone on what was simply a series of letters. So that people could understand that this is a real thing, that it's not fake, you know, that it was based upon real history and real events. And she's been praised for this, and much of what we understand about ancient history, we can give credit to her. So we need to put everything in perspective and understand why these things are going on. The idea of papal infallibility is actually a very new thing, and that only began in 1870. It was made standard within the Catholic Church, and it was not the case for all the rest of its history. And the reason why it did that in 1870 was it was a reaction to the unification of Germany and what was going on in Europe. And Italy as well did not become a unified country until Garibaldi in the 19th century. And it had been split among various principalities since the collapse of the Roman Empire. So we need to be able to put these things in perspective and understand that we cannot collectively attack our heritage, otherwise it will be detrimental. And people like Matthew Raphael Johnson, who's on Radio Aryan, he has been praising the identity movement, but he also is extremely critical of it because it's so utterly Protestant that it's destroying the hand that feeds it, and it makes some very wrong and inaccurate understandings of history and what's really going on. And I'll tell you, if I was made Pope Philip I, and I wanted to destroy the church, I would do exactly what Pope Francis is doing. I would kiss ass to the queers. I would kiss ass to the racial alien. I would kiss ass to the Muslims. I would do all of these things, and he's doing it in front of the cameras and on international media, and he's doing it for a calculated purpose. And we should celebrate it and not condone it because our people are fleeing and trying to find a solution, and the solution is the ecclesia. And I'm also might add that the original church called itself the ecclesia. This is why it's called the ecclesiastical authority, and those are the ones that actually understood and studied things, which is what people on this network try to do on a daily basis, and we're trying to get back to the correct understanding of the word and the fall of his laws. So that's what I want to bring up and help people understand what's really going on. And it's not all bad. Some of the things that are happening is exactly what we want to happen.
Yeah, good points. Very good points. Okay, very good. Doc, anything to add to that, or did you have something else you wanted to chat about?
I think there was a lot of extrapolated conclusions that are incorrect, and of course, we can make this whole show a debate, but I'm not inclined to make that happen. Apostolic faith or lineage of the Catholic Church today does not exist in the Catholic Church. They are satanic at its core and have left the apostolic faith taught by the person that died on the cross. So we have nothing really here but some conclusions that are incorrect in many cases. So it's a debate, and I'm not going to enter it today because I have some other information to talk about.
Okay. Do you want to present it now or wait?
No, I have other things, Pastor Dan, that I need to talk about, arguing that we have left the Catholic Church, and
I'm not saying that in any way whatsoever. Please understand that.
Yeah,
what I am saying is that
this man interrupts me, so I knew this was going to happen, and so I really have to say that this is just not the form for me today. I'm not really up to it, but. There are some conclusions here that, in my opinion, are incorrect. So I'd just like to leave it at that, for my opinion, my 2 cents worth, and maybe we can debate this later, Pastor Dan, if it would be okay.
Yeah, we don't have to stay on it, and I think I know what Phil was trying to get across, but we'll have time after you present what you wanted to present. So let's get on with that first, and then we'll go forward.
Okay. Well, I really, I beg forgiveness for the fact that I don't feel like engaging in it because of my therapy. And that's not why I'm calling in. I just wanted to call in and give an update on the ISC because there has been a lack in information being sent out for that and training. And it's because, and I just wanted to tell the men that have signed up to fight this good fight, that we have a lot of good work yet to do, and there's a lot coming our way. So the interesting thing that manifests itself during this fight is the fact that we have a lot to learn, and there's got to be some folks that take the lead when one of us drops out of sight, like I did when I got hurt and had to go into therapy. So I'm really looking forward to making that happen. I think we're really at the cusp of making that happen. We've got a lot to do. And for example, we can talk about a little bit of what's coming, but we're going to be putting at our fingertips the ability to get FOIA requests out based on intelligence being gathered. There's a link that I'm going to put in the chat, and this link is going to be important for anybody, but it's a very interesting website where at a free cost, we can put four requests in for a very little amount of money without being a paid person per month. What we're going to be doing is the ISC is going to be collecting intelligence information, gathering it for us to kind of see what we can find is coming our way so that we can navigate the landscape of something that we might think is forthcoming. And so that could be a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're coming over the hill with guns, get ready to pull your gun out. That's not it. It's about many things. Are we having an economic collapse, and in what form is it manifesting, and what do we need to do? Lots of intelligence gathered about many things can, other than, you know, economic, can tell us about maybe those kind of things that are economic. But we need to find out, for example, things that have just been discovered. And one of our enemies, one of our vicious enemies that the ISC has already gotten, and it's amazing, Dan, that we've reared the lion already and we haven't hardly done anything, is that the fusion centers have us dead centered. And the Washington State Fusion Center accidentally recently released records on remote mind control as part of a request on records for Antifa. These people, of course, track Antifa. And who in the world ever allowed them to have so much esprit de corps and access to our law enforcement agencies as if they are the final word on good and bad groups? Is just exactly what these parasites are capable of doing and is a threat to our existence. Now we've got tools like mudrock.com, and I'll say it over the air, mudrock.com, where we can actually send FOIA requests right in and request information to be forced out of these fusion centers, and what we need to do is destroy them. We need to completely remove these from the face of our Western world and get these out of our existence. And this is a group, of course, connected to all the other Israeli organizations like Mossad and AIPAC, and you just go down the list, that thinks they're the final say on many things related to what we need. So take a look at mudrock.com, but also take a look at the one that I just posted up in the chat. It's a particular link. But muckrock, I said it wrong, M-U-C-K-R-O-C-K. Now, what is ISC? We are the Israelite Signal Corps that will be moving, and I have a lot of material that I just haven't been able to set down and put out because of my therapy on my back and hip from an accident. So we will be moving forward here shortly. There have been some behind-the-scenes developments of access to radios online that one person is building, in our group and has done a really good job for those that can't afford any kind. But we are going to be more than listening. We are going to be trolling the data, so to speak, and returning opinions in many forms. So this is a war not just in the airways, but as the new media desk of the IDF in Israel are out there trolling the internet with their propaganda, we're going to be counterintelligence operations countering what they do on the internet too. So this isn't just about having to know how to run your radio or what to listen to. And yes, we listen to signals. We have the who. We know where. We may not know what they're saying, but we have quantifiable data levels that tells us when things get hot, there's something going on. And especially when it gets quiet. When it gets quiet, we know there's really something getting ready to happen. But it's kind of like what many people are scratching their head about. Okay, so the president is now squarely in the hands of the neocons and so forth and attacking Syria. I think we have something mysterious based on what information that I've been trying to gather that the ISC needs to be briefed on. By the way, Pastor Dan, this last week, the ISC was supposed to have a conference call, but I was right in the middle of my worst situation and wasn't even able to get work in. So I apologize for letting that down. We'll be up next week with the conference calls for the ISC. But in the meantime, we have a lot of work yet to do, and we have a lot of training to put forth, and lots of people have asked to be caught up, and they will be caught up here in this next week. So I just wanted to get an update to people on that. We have so many things about this attack in Syria that we need to discuss. I'll just briefly say it. And this was not actually an attack on Syria probably, more than likely. This is an extrapolation of probabilities. We never actually know anything, do we, Dan, until it's over. Then we can Monday night quarterback it all day long, right? But is after it's completely done, do we have all the full information? Well, we know they got attacked. How badly and so forth is all very debatable, but it wasn't nearly what we thought they were going to do. But why did we attack? Well, the presumptions are many, but we have likelihoods. And based on what data we see going on right now, there is an uptick in the South Pacific signal-wise. And so what looks like we're getting ready to have happen is this. This wasn't an attack to get rid of chemical weapons, probably. So let's say it was a chemical weapons plant, and it was being run secretly by the bad guys. Well, which bad guys are we talking? Assad or ISIS or who? Well, what they were thinking, I think, what we think they were thinking is, well, the chemical plant shouldn't be in the hands of either one of them, in their opinion, and us being interventionists, they decided to make the brain dead think we were attacking a chemical plant to get rid of the chemical plant. And how many people out there heard them celebrating that we only got, you know, one little bit of our missiles through? What this was, Pastor Dan, was a litmus test for something ominously in the future that looks like is coming. You don't go into a full-blown battle without first doing a litmus test on the capabilities of the enemy. And the enemy has been handed many of our technologies and war secrets, weapon secrets, started clear back with the Clintons, and we just handed them stuff. And that's the vicious vileness of the wicked woman and the Clintons. And in the meantime, we have the Chinese working with Russia, I should say, and the reason why Russia is having to be so close to China is because we, America, not us people, but those in these neocon Israelite Jews, have driven policy in Washington to cause Russia to have to go to the lap, into the lap of China. This was not something China wanted. It was forced upon them by policies by our enemy here in America. There's nothing compatible between the current Russian state and China. The current Russian state is no longer communist, Bolshevik, Jewish controlled, but is their nemesis. Whereas China is a communist red state. And so when you get down to absolutely geopolitical differences, they're at opposite ends of the stick. One's faith is increasing, recognizing itself, I think, in the fact that they are what you could say is a reborn Christian nation, where China remains in the death grip of Bolshevik dictatorship. There's nothing common there. Their only common goal or cause is survival. If we had been friendly to Russia, as we should have been, China would have been both of our enemies. So in the meantime, the neocon state, which still does, yes, want to take all of the Mideast, actually the entire world, as we all know, some of the good guys, I believe, at the top of the military wanted to do a litmus test, maybe even the neocons, and blame it on chemical weapons. Now, what is this litmus test to do? It's to determine the abilities in the military field of war of your enemy. And so we went to war in a very limited way to find out what the capabilities, at least to some degree, were of the enemy, because that's really not what they're concerned about. They're concerned about, well, the neocons, of course, want to know the weaknesses of Russia, because that's their goal. But hiding in the wings is the real battle, Dan, and the real battle that they're getting ready to launch is against China. And every war, if you look back, every war that we've been into first started with a trade war, and we're in the middle of one now. So I think this was a litmus test, and many other people that I've talked to agree. I have a legacy intel guy that's been a generational. Legacy means that their parents or grandparents, a third generation legacy in this case of intel people, are very concerned about not what's going on in the Middle East, but the threat that China poses right now to us, because they are expansionists. They are ruthless. They do not recognize the national boundaries. They want to take over the entire Pacific. That's not the modus operandi of Russia. They just want to be left alone. That's not what China is, expansionist. So I just wanted to update everybody on a few things and tell what was up. So I'm anticipating that next week I'll be back in the saddle at the end of next week, and so in about a week or so, Dan, the flow of information will be going out, and we'll have some people given some duties that can carry on when we have something happen like me getting hurt and not able to do, somebody can carry on. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, also I want to let people know that if you're interested in being part of the Israelite Signal Corps and want to join, or if you just have questions and comments for Doc, you can send it to me. Go to PastorDan.net, the website. There's a contact page there. Send it to me. I will forward your information to Doc, and then he can communicate directly with you. Does that sound okay, Doc?
Hey, that sounds great, and I appreciate the time on. Blessings to you all.
Yep, Yahweh bless,
thank
and
you, Doc.
Speedy recovery.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, there's an update there, and Doug, just hang on for a minute, and I'll bring you onto the program. But Phil, anyway, I think you wanted to add some information there based on some things that Doc was talking about. So this is your time to. You were patient.
I would like
appreciate
to say
your patience.
thank you. I absolutely agree with Doc. That I agree that the Catholic Church is utterly satanic. Okay, and I am not going to, and I am in no way going to deny that. Okay, he's absolutely correct on that. Okay, and but I also know that people instinctively do not want to believe that they may have served a satanic entity when they were part of the Catholic Church. Okay, no one wants to believe that, and he was talking about Russia and China, China, some have argued, has actually become more of a fascistic state and has abandoned a lot of its communist ideology because it is no longer trying to have an equality of income. And if you're a producer and you are able to produce effectively, you're able to have multiple children as long as you can pay the state. And I also am extremely celebratory of Putin's attempts to unify with to keep Russia Christian or reestablish the Christian heritage of Russia. I'm extremely happy about that, but I am a bit skeptical in the sense that he grew up as a KGB agent, and there has never been a revolution to throw out the Jewish element. And from what I understand, there's a very large Jewish mafia which controls everything in Russia behind the scenes. And they have not thrown out this Jewish power. And for those of us who know the rise of the Bolsheviks, it was all done by Jewish power. And I've yet to see him, throw them out of the country. And until that happens, I'm a bit skeptical. That's what I wanted to say on that. It's interesting to see what happens. He's right about the trade wars, and that's what they're trying to do. They're desperately wanting us a third world war, and the Jesuit Jewish satanic order of the Catholic Church is trying to do exactly that. And they helped put in Mao, who is a illiterate peasant in the power of China.
Yeah,
people need to understand that as well.
Yep, I got a couple quick announcements here. Let me get them in here before we run out of time. Sometimes when we get into our lengthy discussions, I end up running out of time. So I'm going to fill everybody in on a few things that we just found out about. I have a link to a YouTube of two people at a news agency talking about a new California State Assembly bill that will effectively ban the Bible in the state of California. So instead of trying to give out this lengthy YouTube address, again, contact me on PastorDan.net, and I will send the link out to you. But anyway, apparently the land of fruits and nuts is considering an assembly bill that would literally ban the Bible. So, also, there is a walkout for the Second Amendment scheduled for May the 2nd. I would highly encourage folks to support that in whatever way you can, but get the word out for all of the pro-Second Amendment folks. May 2nd, there is a map of the United States showing people who have already registered for this. I know there's two events here in South Florida. But you can go to this website, again, have your pens and pencils handy, Tea Party, that's T-E-A, TeaPartyPatriots.org. Again, that's T-E-A-T, TeaPartyPatriots.org. And for folks that wonder why it was called the Tea Party, T-E-A is taxed enough already. and amen to that. Also, on the up note part here, we have a county, Effingham County in Illinois, has declared itself a sanctuary county for Second Amendment folks, gun owners. In other words, it's a sanctuary county for people who do not want to obey any of the draconian measures being passed by the communists in the state of Illinois. And so Effingham County's board of members passed a resolution that their county will be a sanctuary county because it said basically the title was Sanctuary County Declared for Illinois Gun Owners because the citizens are, quote, tired of being pushed around. So that's one reason I entitled today The Awakening, as it is starting to happen. And we talked about this on the radio many, many times. If you want to change things, folks, you have to get involved. You can't sit on your ass and think that it's everybody else's job to make a change and make the world a better place while you sit there watching your reality TV, playing games or video games or computer nonsense. Yahshua told us that to be doers and not hearers only of his commandments. And again, they're his commandments. They're not suggestions. They're commandments. They're called commandments for a reason. There is no debate on them. There is no arguing. There is no, well, maybe this day I'll do it and tomorrow I don't feel like. No, no, no. Commandments. He's a commandor. He's coming back as a general and he will sit as a monarch. You better keep those things in mind, folks. All right. Oh, also one more thing here. The day of fasting and prayer again is on the fourth day of Sivan, which is on our calendars, the 22nd day of May at sundown. That will start our day of fasting and prayer for Yahweh to give us guidance and protection. Okay, Doug, welcome to the program. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, just a little bit louder. Not a lot, but just a little bit.
How's this?
That's pretty good.
Oh, great. Yeah, okay, well, here's my two cents to the whole thing in the beginning of the show. Excuse me. well, for one, I'll be... setting that May 22nd day aside and fasting to join with my Israelite Yahweh children serving brothers and sisters, absolutely. So I want to put that out there, and I encourage everybody to do that because that's one thing that in the history of our scripture that the Father honors. So I think that's a good idea. It doesn't cost you much. It's just one little day.
Yep, very good.
Yeah. And then secondly, on this whole Catholic issue, I kind of agree. I don't know, you know, It kind of sounded, hi, Phil, kind of sounded like Phil was, you know, cheering on the Catholic Church, but I don't think
I'm cheering on the collapse.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. He was, the point that seemed to be missed was Phil was saying basically when your enemy's making a mistake, don't stop them. The Catholic Church under the leadership of Francis is self-destroying it. Okay. So, that's all he was pointing out, is that you see all this stuff going on. It's actually the disintegration of a satanic organization. So don't stop it. Don't resist it.
Yeah, don't get in the way of it. Yeah, well, anyway, I'm just saying that kind of the way it came across was as if you were saying something different, Phil. But I understand now. Yeah, because really – Catholic, the Catholic, it means universal, And then Roman, because it's actually called the Roman Catholic Church. You know, that goes back to Babylon, and those of us who know what this is all about, they know what that's all about. And
I understand that.
Go ahead.
What we need is we don't need a Roman Catholic Church. We need a Jerusalem. We need to practice Jerusalemism as it was intended by Yahweh, where there's no Jews around. Okay. I also would like to point out that the governor of California is a highly trained Jesuit agent, Jerry Brown. Okay. So, and everything that he's doing is a calculated move. This is why they're allowing the Mexicans to come in there, because Mexico is a heavily Catholic entity. Okay. And this is what they're trying to make this country subservient to Rome. Okay. That's the whole purpose of it.
Yeah.
And biblically speaking, there is a, Yahweh God rules the world. Okay. The difference is that there's a difference between those that are in the kingdom and those that are outside the kingdom. And the universalist Catholic Church tries to make everyone equal. It is the epitome of a communist satanic entity. Okay. So that's what I'm trying. That was what I was wanting to get at. I mean, I'm not sure why Doc Waterman would want to debate me, because I wasn't trying to debate. I was just simply trying to point out some things that are happening, that not everything is bad, and that our enemies are doing things. The serpent is eating its tail, let me put it that way.
Right. Well, I think there was some confusion, Phil, because it would be a requirement to hear everything you said to put it all in perspective, and if you missed any of your statements, particularly near the end of what you were saying, you would come across with the wrong impression. Because even I was sitting here thinking, kind of like what they were thinking, is like, where Phil's going somewhere with this, so I'm just going to be quiet and hear it to the very end. And at the very end, you put the pieces together. It's almost like a book sometimes. You get two-thirds of the way through it, and it's kind of like, I don't know if I agree with all this. And in the last couple chapters, they tie it all together, and you sit there going, oh, okay, now it makes perfect sense. I think we had a little bit of that going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I highly recommend that book, How the Irish Saved Civilization. It's a very fascinating book. So, and I also see what's happening over there in France, and what's happening in these other countries, you know, in these particularly Catholic countries, and they're finding themselves lost, I guess you'd say. So, and there's a big schism that's going on.
Yep.
A big one.
And I
celebrate that, because a lot of the people that formerly been confused are waking up and trying to figure out what the heck is going on here, and why are we in such a dire straits? Why are we not able to defend ourselves? And it's because of this satanic entity that's controlling Western civilization.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people have mixed feelings about the Q posts, the QAnon posts on the 8chan. However, I do find some things that this particular intelligence group saying that makes a lot of sense to me. And one of their posts said, all roads lead to Rome. And so whoever Q represents is putting out hints as to where to look for the nefarious people that are behind all this, because the Jews do that a lot. They try to go behind curtains and doors and work in the dark. They don't want to be in the limelight so that people know they're behind things, which is why the whole Society of Jesus was started. It was to hijack the so-called Roman Catholic Church and use it for their own theft of real estate, theft of political power, theft of treasures. Personally, I can almost guarantee you that many of the books in the that were disappeared from the great library at Alexandria are probably underneath the Vatican. I believe that was completely staged, and the so-called fire that destroyed, as soon as you hear it destroys everything, that's a cover. It's just like all these false flags. Oh, the shooter was high on pharmaceuticals. He was a lone gunman. He was bizarre. Oh, and he's dead. Okay, well, how convenient for the New World Order. This happens every time, and even in antiquity. So as soon as you read, there was a great fire, mysterious, don't have any idea how it got started, but it consumed everything. Well, what a great way to cover up a theft, much like 9/11, when all of the bonds were burned up, all the gold in the basement of the World Trade Centers was stolen the day before, but the buildings come down and are quickly whisked away. What a great cover for a heist, okay? So these people are demonic, they're satanic, they have no conscience, and they keep pulling this garbage on us, and sooner or later we have to wake up and realize that it's the same song being played over and over and over, and it's the same nefarious crowd of antichrists behind all of this stuff going on.
Hey, Dan.
I also wanted to mention you had Jay on talking about the Reconstruction period in the United States, and I wanted to extrapolate on what he was talking about, and kind of explain about the Jim Crow laws and how and what happened with them, and what happened at the end of the Civil War that he had is that the blacks were promised their own nation state in the South, okay, their own black country, and they were given power and control, and they were basically under the thumb of the Communist Republican Party. Well, then what happened was that the whites began to flee, and the property that had been going for hundreds of dollars an acre, which is a lot of money back in those days, had dropped to pennies on the dollar. And so the cabal bought this land up, and they went over to Europe to bring over to sell it to whites over in Europe. And the reason why they did that was because they couldn't get them anywhere, because the immigration laws restricted immigration to only white Europeans at the time. And plus, the Europeans are the only ones that had money enough to buy this land. Well, the blacks said no. This is going to be a black nation, and they put a stop to it. And so the cabal ended up going back against the white, against the blacks, and began to put in people that restored white authority. And the sole reason was because they had lost their shirt. And then what you had was the establishment of the Jim Crow laws. And the Jim Crow laws, what they actually did was they mandated that blacks were able to that whites were not allowed to invest in black businesses, just as blacks were not allowed to invest in white business. Or, you know, they were separate, which forced the white race or the blacks to improve their own society. And to make it much, much better. And the standard of living of blacks in America from having absolutely nothing rose at an exorbitant rate, faster than any equivalent group in history. And this is because they were forced to spend money on themselves. A white businessman could not do business with a black man, okay? And this is to help the blacks improve their own lifestyle, to forcibly improve upon it. But then with the Great Society under Johnson, they put an end to that, okay? And this is how you have all this animosity between the races. And so the standard of living among blacks has plummeted because whites are the blessed ones of Yahweh, and the blacks, they are never going to be as great as the whites. They're just not. But they can improve upon themselves if they follow our lead. But this is why you have these no-go zones in America, and part of this is to get whites to have white flight and flee from their lands to buy more land from the Jew bankers, Okay, so we're having to constantly flee and buy. Once we buy our house, we can't give it to our children because the blacks are moving into the neighborhood. And so we have to flee, and so we end up having to buy, you know, to get more enslaved to the Jewish bankers. And this is what's happening throughout the United States. And you have, and if you look at the, and if you look at the demographics of the last election, you'll see that the white voters that voted for Trump had dominated the landmass of the United States. And this is similar to what has occurred in Russia during the Civil War period, where you had the Bolsheviks were concentrated in a smaller area, but the whites were dispersed throughout the majority of the landmass. And this is exactly what you have in the United States. And the blacks in America vote monolithically Democratic. I mean, if we only allow blacks to vote, that we would have a Democratic dictatorship in about 5 minutes. So that's what has occurred. And what we're going to have is in Yahweh's kingdom is we're going to have a separation. But you're not going to have any blacks in the kingdom. But you're going to have them outside the kingdom where they can follow the lead of his children. And if they go against it, they're going to be destroyed.
If you read the descriptions of the New Jerusalem, that's exactly what it's talking about. The 12 gates going to the inner sanctum and the Holy of Holies has got the 12 tribes of Israel's names above each of the portals. So obviously they're the only ones going to be in the Holy of Holies because we're his children and we are his administrators. So he works through us. And then the other people are outside the wall and they are attracted to or driven to come to the New Jerusalem for education and mentoring and assistance. And you know what? It's how America started, okay? America actually started out with the right idea. Only white people could be citizens. Only white men had political power and could cast a ballot and could hold public office or sit in a jury box. So they had the right idea. It was based on the biblical teachings. And the world did come here for instruction, to go to our schools or to learn medicine or architecture, engineering, whatever, and take it back home with them. And that was the whole idea behind the visa program. You were given a visa to spend some time here, learn, but under a visa, you were never to own a business or to own property or to stay here and have citizenship or anchor babies or any of this other absolute insanity that we have going on today. You were supposed to accomplish your goal and then go back home with our blessings. Go back home and spread your information and make your world a better place back where you came from. But you don't stay here. You don't stay here and do the stupid-ass things that we've got going on in this country today. We need to return to the biblical roots and the wisdom of our founding fathers. Every rule that they had ensured that this land would stay a white Christian constitutional republic. All right? And we've allowed the Jews, for instance, in immigration, it was Jacob Javits and his little band of kikes in Washington that decimated our immigration policy in the mid-60s. And I love it when the talking heads all blame Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy was a buffoon, the same way Clinton and Bush and Obama, they're just buffoons, okay? They do what their Jewish masters tell them. And Ted Kennedy was just the same way. Ted Kennedy was so easy to blackmail, it was ridiculous. He was a drunk and a womanizer, so they had stuff to blackmail that idiot on up and down the aisle. So Ted Kennedy had nothing to do with decimating the immigration policy. He was just the goyim face they put on it. It was Jacob Javits who was the ringleader of the kikes that decimated that immigration policy, and the cucks within our Congress and the cucks behind the pulpits of America that let him get away with it.
I agree with that 100%.
Yep. Doug, did you have something?
The quality of our politicians has dropped so remarkably since that preacher FDR was put in office. So, I mean, if you can't have anything, I sometimes get kind of frustrated that we kind of idolize our founding fathers, but it's not, I don't think it's so much that they're perfect. It's that, is that they're not as bad as the ones we have today.
Oh, no.
Pretty much they're far more intelligent, and they were trying to create a better society, you know.
Right. They weren't perfect.
They weren't. But they were trying to, you know, make it better, and we are doing everything under the sun to make things worse. And we're doing a very good job of it.
Amen. Doug?
Yeah. Well, if my memory serves me correct, it was Joe Kennedy who initiated the first immigration policies into Massachusetts. I was born there in Massachusetts and grew up there. Of course, I didn't learn about this stuff until many decades later. But, he's the one that started immigration, and it began in Massachusetts, bringing the welfare state and all of that stuff there. And then what I want to say about this, bringing it back to Scripture, and you mentioned early in your monologue there, Dan, you know, that about the Father's plan. Okay, well, his plan equals his will. And, you know, I'll quote here from Ecclesiastes 1:9 that says, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. And so everything, all these plans and machinations and everything we see going on, if we study his word, if we search for the Father, his will, his plan, his want a relationship with him, then we will begin to gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and it will, and it does apply to what we see going on today. It always has done that from everybody that all the revered speakers and writers throughout history. It always reveals that there's nothing new. And so as far as relationship and being able to escape, to be able to, when I say escape, I don't just mean I want to just escape, because I have you and me and my children and my grandchildren and my interests. I don't want to just escape as some type of coward. You know, I just want to, you know, die peacefully. That's not what I'm talking about. And that, I don't think that's what the Father was talking about when he said, you know, he'll enable you to escape. The thing that is coming, that's here, that's been in the presence always, of just normal, good-willed people. I don't want to escape it. I want to win the battle, okay? I want to be in the battle, and I want to win it. And I can't do that without my Father. I can't do that without being linked in with him, with his will, with his plan. And so ultimately, this comes down to morality, being right, you know, loving life, loving, appreciating all of his creation. And we're just one species that he's created. There's a lot of them out there. And so the Jew, the offspring of Satan, they're the opposite of that. We know that. All of us that are awake, we know that. So it's about being willing to fight, to speak about it, about their atrocities, about their fables, about their lies. And it's weird being an awake person living in the United States of America, watching what's going on with these highly paid politicians who are just going along with it all, when we know that if they wish to, if each man, woman chose to, they could call it to, hey, let's talk about this. They could do that, but they don't, because they have their own interests, their own, they care about the mammon, the world, their houses, all this stuff, and that's what they protect. And so it's really interesting to me to watch all of this going on. And yet, as I do this, I am so appreciative of the men and women that stand up, like you, Dan, and you, Phil, and Doc, and myself, and so many others. We're a remnant, in a sense. We're small, that will stand up without fear, speak it out, fight against it, try to bring his will into this world. However, we know that his word has written how it will all end. And, you know, good will be called evil, evil will be called good. You know, they're California is trying to strike the Bible from being there. And, you know, pedophilia is okay. It's another form of, you know, a choice, you know. So those of us who are real embedded, we have a relationship with the Father and his word, because you can't, if you don't know his word, you can't have a relationship with him, because it's like any other relationship. If your dad, if you're living on a farm, you're in a family, and your dad says, hey, you got to pick up the eggs. You got to, you know, feed the hogs. You got to stand against evil. You have to do that every day. This is not a sports activity. You have to do this every day. This has to be your life. And if you don't do that, if you're not in that, then you're sitting on a fence. You're double-minded. You're not sure yet. You're choosing what side you're going to choose, as if you're going to get a victory, because the New World Order seems to have rulership. That's not the truth at all. That's not the truth at all. They're going to be chaff. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to receive their just judgment. And so we have to, everybody hearing my voice, you choose what's right or wrong. And if that takes fighting, if that takes dying to fight for what you stand for, it's good. That's a good thing. Because you can't go against the Father of light. He's the Father of light. He's not a false light. He's the Father of truth, which is light. So this is, it's a separation that's going on. It's a, you know, he's separating the sheep from the goats. And what a great day to live in. You know, what a great, I'd rather live in this day when all this knowledge has been increased and I know where to stand than living in some kind of murky existence when the Roman Catholic Church was doing the Dark Ages stuff. But it's still here. Nothing's new, like Ecclesiastes says. You know, you have, what's that thing? It's the, that movie that was made about the courts. I can't think of it right now, but it's where, you know, these magistrates were just declaring. And that went on back in through the Roman Catholic Church. It was just another repeat of Star Chambers.
Yeah, and yeah, we have Star Chambers today, same way.
Exactly. But the thing is, brothers, is that we have the Supreme Being on our side, and like he did with Nebuchadnezzar and others, we cannot fail when we stand for him. And that's what it's all about, is who do you choose? Who do you choose?
One with Yahweh is a majority. So obviously the choice is to become a child of the Father and to accept his sacrifice as Yahshua at Calgary and cover your sins up with the blood of the Christ. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, profess Christ and cover your sins with his sacrifice so that you are cleansed and therefore righteous and become part of his righteous remnant. The Radamanthine warriors, Pastor Steve was referring to in the program this morning. So, we are part of an army. There is a war going on right now. It is escalating, but as it escalates, I find it to be interesting how many tools Father Yahweh puts in our hands to fight the battle. So the thing missing from the equation right now is the warriors. Where are the warriors? The warriors need to take a stand, and they are. They're starting to come alive. I witnessed it over the past week when I was out of town on a road trip. I got to witness to a lot of people that I've known for years. They did not, one of them being a Roman Catholic Air Force pilot, and years ago tried to inject truth into the conversation, didn't want to hear it, like so many others. But this past week I noticed that a lot of folks who were adamant deniers of the issues of today have made an about face. The only comment that I had that was negative in any way was that, Dan, sometimes you overload us, so please slow down. And that's actually a compliment. So it's not a negative in the sense of something that irritated me. It was actually a compliment that they could take that much new information, and what they were asking for was more time to digest it. And I think all of our warriors out there need to take a little lesson from that. I had to be taught that years ago, and sometimes I forget it, as I did over the weekend in my zealousness to get the truth out. When you've got babes in Christ out there, the Bible says it to feed them pablum, and pablum is just a word for baby food. And we got to remember, these people are coming out of the dark, okay? They've been completely isolated from the truth. They believed that the church was telling them the truth. It's not. They believed the government was with good people with good intentions. It's not. They believed that everybody in the Pentagon was honest and we wouldn't go to war for nonsensical reasons. Not true, as General Smedley Butler says in his book, War is a Racket. And so did General Patton, and so did General MacArthur allude to the fact that we have evil people who have risen to power, and their father Satan has given them the leg up on us because they're doing his bidding, and so he's using his power, even though it's limited. He does have a certain amount of deception power, and they've been able to use that because they're following his lead. They're following in his footsteps. Our problem is our people have abandoned our Heavenly Father Yahweh. And as our people are coming back, which they are, by the way, folks, I know many people out there feel like they're all alone, that you're the only one, but I'll remind you what he told the prophet that was hiding in the cave. don't give me your line of BS. I've got 7,000 just like you, which is a idiomatic expression meaning a large, large number. In Aramaic, they often exaggerate numbers in order to get the point made. So many times in the Bible, when numbers are given, they're not exact numbers. For instance, the 144,000. We got so many people take off and run with that. Well, there's only going to be 144,000 Israelites in the kingdom. You don't understand. George Lamsa, in his book explaining about the idiomatic expressions, talks about this. In Aramaic, which, by the way, is still spoken, it's not a dead language. And George Lamsa grew up in an area of the world where they still speak Aramaic to this day. The idioms of antiquity are still the idioms they use today. And in Aramaic, exaggerating numbers was a way to make your point. So don't take literal numbers in the Bible. Sometimes it matters, but a lot of times it's only to bring about a emphasis, a point of emphasis, all right? We've got actual religious groups out there who take that 144,000 to be literal. And so they actually have a church out there today. They limit their membership to 144,000. Could you think of anything more ludicrous than that? So you got people that want to know the truth, but you keep them out of your church because, well, we've already got 144,000 members, so we're not going to let you in. I mean, where's Christ in that?
Do you think for one instant that the warriors of Judah and et cetera weren't skilled fighters? Okay, obviously they all were. And that doesn't come from just getting in, words. They had to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. And the thing is that sometimes when there's an immediate overwhelming threat, you have to give more knowledge. And we always do this as teachers. I do it. Everybody does it. As teachers of some skill set, you give them more knowledge than they can ever absorb, but it's there in their brain now, okay? And as they go along, the teachers keep teaching it, and as they come up and they keep growing in the practicing the skill, now they begin to understand what you've told them as a basic that goes way back, maybe from the first time you ever talked to them. So it's never wrong to give more knowledge. I just, you know.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you withhold information. I'm just saying you have to be aware that they can only assimilate and deal with a certain amount of information at a time. That's what the QAnon postings were all about. Whether they're real or not, we're not going to debate that right now, but this part makes sense. They're saying that the American people cannot take, if we dumped everything we know, if all of the evil things that have been done by these people were dumped on the heads of the average American, they would probably faint or have a heart attack right on the spot. So that part of what they're talking about makes sense. It also fits with the conversation I had with the intelligence officer back in 2010, because I was advocating a military coup clear back in 2009 and 2010. In many of my mailings, I was making the statement, the only thing that will bring America back is a military operation. If you want to call it a coup or not, it doesn't matter to me. That's semantics. But a military intervention will only do it because the political apparatus is 100% corrupt. 100% corrupt. And that includes the courts, Department of Justice, the intelligence agencies, the Pentagon. They all have corruption eating away at their middles. And the only thing that will bring us back is the same thing that brought back Rome when Rome became corrupt. It was the generals with their legions that marched in and put the evil to the sword. and returned Rome to a new set of senators and reminded them that they're there to serve the Republic. They are not there to be dictators and use their positions of power for self-gratification and self-improvement financially, which is what we have in Washington, D.C. We also have it in virtually every state capital and probably down to the county level at this time. So the only thing is a righteous revolution with a good military and a military operation. That's it. So that conversation went on back in 2010, and here we are 8 years later, and it's now only now beginning to come to fruition. And we're going to see a lot of things happen over the next couple months, I'm telling you. Just be ready for it. They're going to dump more information. There's going to be a lot of things going on that are going to shock you. And people need to be mentally prepared for that. All right? Especially Yahweh's people, because he's going to turn over to us more responsibility as he has more warriors step forward. I can already see that happening. And I want to give a shout out to the supporters of this ministry that have stepped up to the plate here in the last few months with either donations or the donating of electronic gear to actually set up a command center. This looks like a command center, thanks to the men and women that have stepped up here lately. And that's my point, too, is here again, what makes things work in Yahweh's kingdom? His sons and daughters becoming doers. That's all it takes, folks. Take a little step. You don't have to take giant leaps all at once. Take baby steps to start with. Why don't you test the Father? You know, the scripture says, I'll be there with you. I will walk with you. Why don't you take some baby steps and test it? All right? If you're that afraid, or you're not that sure about Yahweh being with you in this world full of all these demented creatures that walk here, why don't you take a few baby steps and just see what he does? You might be surprised. You might be surprised if you take that thing called fear and just put it on the shelf over there. Just take it out of your whole system. Don't even allow Satan's kids and all of these fear porn agencies, such as the mainstream media, the government talking heads, and all these, even in the alternative media, if they're fear porn people, just remember, that's Satan's kids talking to you, because they know that in the end, we win. They can only survive as long as we're afraid to resist. We're afraid to stand forth and bring about the kingdom of Yahweh and to put the wicked where they belong, which is under the ground. Okay? The day of repentance for the wicked is almost over. And that, I've heard a lot of talk shows here recently saying the same thing. There is a window, a small window, just as in the days of Noah. As Noah and his family were building the ark, do you think they would have turned away any of those local people if they'd have come up and said, I repent? No, they would have brought them on board the ark. But who closed the door on the ark? Father Yahweh did. He closed the door. It wasn't Noah or a member of his family. Yahweh closed the door and sealed it. And we're living in the days as it was in the days of Noah. We're living them right now. That window for you to make a decision, ladies and gentlemen, is about ready to close. That's how close we are. You got a chance right now to repent, which means to rethink. Repent comes from the Latin. It just means to rethink. Re-establish the priorities in your life and start putting the kingdom first. What's scripture say? Put the kingdom first, and then what? All the rest will be added unto you. First priority every day you get up is Yahweh himself and serving him in the kingdom. They should be the number one things on your brain when you wake up at night, or wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. Number one and number two, Yahweh and his kingdom. And how many people are doing it? Phil, I know we've rambled on here. Did you have anything?
Yes, I have a couple things. I'd like to say that we are still in a dark age. We are just simply in a different stage of that dark age. We must be able to accept and embrace Yahweh's order of creation without being fearful of being accused of worshiping the creation.
And that's unfortunately what a lot of people do, is that they're fearful that we may be accused of worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And without the creation, the creator is irrelevant. And our dark age has just simply gone into a different stage. We have, you know, in the so-called dark ages, they had created what's known, what we might call the botanical sciences, and they made detailed drawings of various flora and fauna, and knew what herbs did, you know, how herbs benefited things. And the people of Europe were the most well-fed people in the world at the time. Today we have the worst conditions of people health-wise. We have GMO food. We have Frankenfood. We have, you know, everything that you can imagine. We have pharmakia. We have these artificial chemicals that are poisoning us. You know, we have everything exactly the opposite of how Yahweh intended these things. And we need to be able to get back to the way things are intended to be. And because the darkness has come to America where we thought it would never come to, and it's come throughout the world. And I also might add that the animosity between Russia and China is not new. There was a series of skirmishes, of small battles between Soviet Russia and Red China during the Mao's period. In fact, I think the last one was in the early 1970s, I believe. And the Russians kicked the Chinese butt. The Chinese thought that they were a superior form of communism, and they attacked the Russians. And the Russians have a strong fear of an invader since the so-called Mongol horde. They are very good at defending themselves, but they're not so good at invading other countries. Whenever they would go into other areas outside of Russia, they would often get their butt kicked. But defending their land, they're very good at it. So we have to get back to his laws. We have to put things in proper perspective, because we are in a dark age, and we are in a very, and there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of people that are coming to the truth in this program on EFR and other identity sites, and we praise Yahweh for that. We were just in a different stage, and this darkness will get worse, but we need to be prepared, and we need to see the light, and be able to follow His laws, and we will be able to be saved from this peril that we're facing.
Yeah, amen to that. You know, it's a little bit like the health issue, and I did a lot of talking over the past week with friends and relatives about that issue. You know, when you become a doer and not just a hearer, there's a blessing passed on to you, whatever manner that takes. But for instance, in the area of health, many of my friends and family have some significant health issues. And so I used that as a starting point in our discussions. I said, you know, at one point, one of the former military guys asked me, why don't you eat pork? And I said, well, the typical answer I would give you is I'm allergic to it. That just cuts the conversation off and don't have to get into any debates or anything else. I said, but since you're asking all these other questions, I'll tell you the real reason. And there's two. Number one, our Heavenly Father told us not to eat it. It's swine. It's filthy, just like the scavengers. I said, so we have foods that are clean and foods that are unclean. And if you pay attention to the rule book, you'd be amazed at the health benefits. And that was the second reason I don't eat it, because I went to health classes when I studied to be a certified natural health practitioner. The classes were held in these schools, and the instructors were not identity. They are naturopaths, but they're not identity. They came from all sorts of backgrounds. And yet virtually every instructor I ever had agreed that certain foods are not good for you. So they didn't say don't eat them. They just told you they're not good for you. And guess what was number one on the list that was recommended to avoid? Was pork. And then what was else on the list? shellfish. And what else was on the list? Things like rabbits and horse meat and dogs and things such as that. Why? Because they're, for in the case of rabbits, if you don't kill them in the winter, rabbits are full of parasites. How many people know that? Most people don't. And yet the Bible told us don't eat the rabbit, don't eat the hare, because they don't chew the cud or have a cloven hoof. And those are trademarks of the herbivores that are clean to eat. Same thing with the fish. Does it have fins and scales? Okay, sharks have fins, but they don't have scales. Why? They're scavengers. You don't eat them. So I just made that point to them, and it for the first time, I saw the lights go on, and they actually stood there and decided that maybe they should give up pork. Okay, for one thing, when you're young people, for those listening today, when you're young, Yahweh does you a favor, and he gives you a body that can withstand you punishing it. All right. He realizes that as young people, we typically have the attitude that we know everything. And so you're going to violate the food laws and every other commonsensical thing because you're young. You don't see a reason for it. But here's the problem. As you get older, Yahweh expects you to get smarter because he's going to diminish all of those reserves that you had in your youth. And as you get older, you'd better listen up and pay attention to those rules because your body will rebel. And it just depends on how bad you violate the rules on how fast it rebels. I saw people in their 30s and 40s who've had joint replacements or who are on 4 or 5 pharmaceuticals at that young age. Can you imagine that? I read the report recently that the military, 50% of the military is on at least one pharmaceutical. 50%. And you're talking about relatively young people in the military. 50% are on a pharmaceutical of one form or another. Many of them are antidepressants. That goes along with the fact that 22.4 military people are committing suicide every single day. And I personally believe that these drugs are a part of that. The other part of that is the fact that the corrupt people in charge of our government and the military are asking our military men and women to do things that are unethical. And if you have a conscience, that's going to bother you. It's much like the drone pilot recently I read about. A young man was one of these drone pilots that was flying drones over in the Middle East and using the drones to bomb or machine gun Arabs. And he realized that, how do I know these people are actually guilty of doing anything wrong? And how do I know that the people surrounding the main target are guilty of anything? They're innocent family members or neighbors or whatever, and we're killing them. Okay? If you have a conscience, that's going to bother you. And I believe that the scripture says that at the end of the age, a lot of consciences would be seared over. And if you folks out there know what searing is, that's like in the old West or something, if you had a bad wound, they'd take a hot iron out of the campfire and sear the wound over with that hot iron. Painful as hell, but at least would seal it. Well, searing means that you get a scab or a crust, and our consciences are seared over. Many people walking this earth, they don't have a conscience. Or if they do, it's seared over to where it can't penetrate the lies and deceptions that are in our societies today. So how do you bust through that? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's our work when we tell them the truth. As Bill Holter says, 2018 will be known as the year that the truth matters. If you want a great weapon to bring down the New World Order and put this beast in the ground where she belongs, I say let's cut her. Let's cut her to the quick and bleed her out. And you do that with a sword, a double-edged sword called the truth. It may come to bullets. I'm not saying it won't. We should be prepared for that. Just as Doug said, we should prepare for the physical battle, but right now it's an ideological battle, and the greatest weapon Yeshua gave us is his truth, because his truth actually does set you free. and the enemy can't stand the truth. I heard Andy and Paul were doing the show before this one, or actually before David James's program, and they played a little clip. I believe it was an interview over in England where they had a, I believe he was a colonel or a general in the British military. He got on there. They were talking about Syria. And as soon as this general started to go against the liberal left Zionist communist point of view, they shut him off. And they do it typically by saying, well, we've got to go, we're out of time, whatever. But the general was starting to say that what we're told about Syria is not true. And as soon as he did it, see, they can't stand the truth. That's how come you know you're dealing with a Jew, by the way. The Jew will take the position in your argument as a, quote, intellectual. He'll sit there and just try to beat you down with sophistry. But once he loses the battle, once he realizes that you're winning the debate, he loses it. You'll start using four-letter words. He'll start calling you names. He'll do everything but address the topic. That's one way you know you're dealing with a Jew. He'll put the facade on. He'll do the deception just like his father. He'll try to sound intellectual. He'll try to sound philosophical. But as soon as he realizes he's lost you, as soon as he realizes you're not buying his bullshit, he loses it, completely loses it. So Yahweh gave us a lot of ways to know who we're dealing with and to identify them if we're paying attention. So we're getting closer to the end. We've got about 15 minutes. I'll give Phil, if you got some more to talk about.
Yeah, I would like to say that one of the problems we have in our society is that we have a fear of striving for an ideal. And the ancients used to discuss about having an ideal to strive for, whether that be the idea, how society should be structured. And if you did not have an ideal to strive for, you were basically considered an atheist. That's really what the ancients meant by that. And so, the Jews have created an atheistic state where there's absolutely no ideal in society, where a man can act like a woman, a woman can act like a man, that you can race mix, that you can, you can mutate plants, you can mutate animals, you can destroy the creation of the world, and there's no order in society, and that's what we're facing as a civilization, and this is also why the Third Reich has been utterly vilified by the satanic beast system, because they strive for an ideal. There's no gender confusion. There's a strong family element. You had the family farm. You didn't have them taken over by corporate entities. You had a structure within society. You had the preservation of the race. You had the preservation of their heritage, and this goes contrary to the Jewish desire to corrupt everything, and this is what's happening. This is what's happening in our military. This is why we're having such a high suicide rate, is because our military has been sold that all militaries are right wing extremist organizations, but our military is in fact an ultra left wing communist entity, and we are, our soldiers are taught or have to attend gay appreciation meetings and these kinds of things, and we help institute this drug industry, okay, and we're doing it in Afghanistan, and we're doing it throughout the world, and a soldier, a true soldier, it's fundamentally a ultra nationalist traditionalist that defends the family, defends the his creation, particularly white men. They instinctively understand this, even if they're too foolish to acknowledge it. They instinctively do this, And this is what's happening to our military. Our military is becoming feminized. It's becoming utterly corrupted, and it's ultra leftist. We have become our worst enemy.
Yep. Yeah, we have a lot of things to fix. The good news is that we're being given the tools to fix it. That's the good news. Mm-hmm. Like Doug said, this is a good time to be alive. The prophets, the people of antiquity looked forward to this period of time. They wished that they could be here for the second coming. They wish they could be here for the end of the age when Yahweh will restore all things and a new heaven and a new earth. A lot of people say that means that this world will be destroyed. There's nowhere in scripture does it say this world will be destroyed. It says a new heaven and a new earth. It means renewed. It doesn't mean destroy this one and burn it up and then put one in its place. It means that what we see out here now is going to go away. The GMOs, the hybridization, the mongrelization, all of the dirty, filthy, rotten things that man does to the animal kingdom, the plant world, and to mankind will be done away with. And those who perpetrate these deeds, they also will be done away with. So that will bring a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine waking up tomorrow and Yahshua sitting on the throne? First of all, who's going to argue with him? I don't think there's going to be many. And he declares Yahweh's law is the law. Universally, no debate, no discussion, no variances, no tolerance. That's all the work of Satan and their kids. It's zero tolerance to Yahweh's law. And can you imagine what a world this would be?
Mm-hmm. The world will change for the better rather than being constantly being changed for the worse, which has been happening since the garden.
Amen to that.
So. Hey, hello?
Hello?
Are you there? Am I here? Hello?
What? I don't know. Doug, are you here?
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. I love your exposés and your conferences. You know, when I got delivered, it changed me from the inside out. I already hated living in this world and everything I was about and that kind of a thing. And this is back in the 70s. And since then, my Heavenly Father has been very consistent as I've tracked this with His Word. It all fits in. People who really want His deliverance. Now, the covenant is given to a specific people, but His Word and His promises, they're absolute. If you act this way, then you're not convicted of sin. Everybody has sinned, and you can be forgiven for that. And so with all of this that we have going on, we know that it's a fear-based system. Many years ago, I realized as I was researching scripture that the most basic, most fundamental, the most powerful thought was dying. That's what everything was about. That's what people feared the most, was dying, like instantly, like my life might end today. And when I looked at all of this in view of the scripture and the promises, then it became a thing where, like Jesus Christ said, you have to lose your life to gain it. Well, you know, that's the way he speaks and the words that came from him are so succinct and complete that it's about giving up the physical life. It's about not being caught up in all the machinations of, you know, like all these politicians. I can't imagine what these people go through just because they get hundreds of millions of dollars and a nice house and, you know, and limousines, and they're not living like the rest of us. They're totally not related. And so, you know, it's about the end coming where all of this evil ends. We're in evil, okay? We're kind of in a type of hell existence where there is no law being applied. There is everything else is, well, good is being called evil and evil is being called good, and et cetera. So, like you said, Dan, yeah, I am happy because I want an end to this. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm willing to do everything I can to play my part to bring it to pass. And my part and everybody else's part is in worshiping the Father, serving Him, loving Him, and eschewing evil, hating evil, speaking against it, standing against it, whatever it costs you. And so it's exciting in a sense to me. I feel bad for those who are not aware of this scenario that's playing out. For me, it's very prescient that this is a fulfillment of Scripture. So I thank you for having your show and for Phil being there, and Doc Waterman and all he's doing, and so many of the rest of us. Let's stick together, okay? Let's try to figure out how to serve the Father, because and be loyal to Him. That's the only thing that makes the difference. It's not who you know as far as people goes in the world system. It's being tied to the Father and the Messiah and what was accomplished for us. And if we can get in that path, get on that path and do that, then we have to wait upon Him. But at the same time, doesn't mean we don't have to do nothing as we're on this path, okay? Which is what I'm doing right now. I'm just speaking words out there. So,
right.
Anyway, yep. Yahweh bless you.
Yep, Yahweh bless, Doug. Take care, and we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Okay, Phil, any last words? We got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think you're doing a wonderful. I think you're doing a wonderful job, Commander Dan, and I think the people on UFR are doing a wonderful job as well, getting this word out. And I hope that that people will have the courage to stand their ground, because that's what we really are here to do, and we need to be able to look at the world around us and not be afraid to admire the things that He created, and not be stop trying to feel that we may be worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And if we don't, and when we do this, we'll be able to connect the spirit with the flesh, and we'll be able to understand why He created this world around us, and we will not spiritualize everything like the Judeo-Christians do, and make our belief system, our belief in the Heavenly Father, utterly meaningless, and we'll be able to put we'll be able to make it practical for the common man.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, again, it was a pleasure having you on, Phil. You take good care, and we'll do this again soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, you know, stay strong, and we're going to get through this thing. This is a war. We're warriors. We've already been promised the victory, and as was talked about here earlier, when he said you got to lose your life in order to gain it, he wasn't talking about dying physically. He was talking about, for instance, here, we could be out on a beach somewhere swimming, getting drunk, partying with our friends. Instead, we're trying to bring truth to this world and make a change and make it a better place when we leave it than it was when we came into it. So we have, in a sense, sacrificed our life, the life of the pagans, the life of the hedonists, versus the life of a Rhadamanthine warrior who has said, I'll be damned if I'm going to go out of this world quietly. We're going to make noise, and we're going to fight this enemy with everything we've got. So take good care, Phil, and Yahweh bless your heart.
Thank you, you too. Yahweh bless.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're down to, let's see, almost exactly 1 minute, so we'll just close in a little short prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to our brothers and sisters all over this earth. Many are feeling alone or isolated. We ask that the Holy Spirit would minister unto them. We ask for your guidance. We ask for protection against our multitude of enemies that are out there, especially enemies of the truth. For all of the white hats that exist, wherever they might be, we ask a hedge of protection around them. We ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit to ignite our people, that they give up this spirit of fear and take on the whole armor of our Heavenly Father against this satanic evil that is perpetuated across this earth. And we ask and do all these things in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh El Shaddai. Hallelujah.